The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Koutou katoa, welcome to Dietary Requirements, the Spinoff's still award-winning food podcast. Each month we get together to eat and drink delicious things and chat with the buzziest people in New Zealand food. Welcome to episode 4 of season 2. Ko Simon Day, toko ingoa, and I'm your host, joined by the Spinoff's food editor Alice Neville. Kia ora, Alice.
Kia ora, Simon.
And big boss, food entrepreneur, getting bigger by the day, Sophie Gilmore of Delicious Business. Hi, Soph.
Hi, Si.
Today we're going to be talking about the way the food media and its influence is changing. And to do this, we're joined by Albert Cho, the man behind Eatlit Food, the infamous Instagram account, and now a new video series. Welcome, Albert.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Welcome. Thank
you very much for joining us. Before we get into it, though, we have two pieces of housekeeping. Firstly, a shout out to our wonderful sponsors, Freedom Farms. Freedom Farms believes that everyone who eats meat has a responsibility to know how that animal has been farmed, and they're dedicated to providing you with the best pork and free-range eggs. This Christmas, Freedom Farms and the aunties are putting together hampers for women affected by domestic violence. If you're a Kiwi food producer who would like to donate something delicious to the aunties' Christmas hampers, please get in touch with the team at Freedom Farms by emailing us at freedomfarms.co.nz. And also, you need to sign up to the Spinoff members. This is the fund that allows us to do the hardest to pay for journalism and continue to do amazing investigations and look into the deepest, darkest secrets of New Zealanders.
Sure.
You can do this and get some mean Dietary Requirements merch if you sign up at the specific URL, www.thespinoff.co.nz/dietary requirements. You'll get one of our lit badges.
I'm wearing one right now, and I think everyone can agree that it is... It's very, so, very nice.
It's so beige. It's so sexy.
I have one for you.
Oh,
it's
thank
got,
you.
It's got pastry on it, which
oh,
I
cool.
really love.
It's
beige
such
is
an
my
important,
favorite color.
And one for you, Sophie.
An interesting and important piece of merch decision. You know, like I wouldn't have known where to start with Dietary Requirements, but the badge is it. It's the one.
It's, you know, it's multi-purpose.
Yeah.
Your three-year-old can wear it. Your grandma can wear
three-year-old
it.
Three-year-old wearing a kind of cheap badge is
with a needle.
Dangerous. All
right. So today, I actually scrolled all the way back to the very first post of Eatlit Food.
Fuck. Not even I do that.
It was on the 2nd of November 2017, so your birthday is coming up.
Wow, okay.
It was an unflattering 3 out of 10 review of a lemon cake.
Where was it from?
Winona Forever. I was going to
No, that makes sense. So. Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
It was only 23 words long and no swears. So
really?
So things have really changed. It had 57 likes and only 3 comments.
Shit. I was so irrelevant. Actually, not 57 likes on like a fucking lemon cake.
On your first post.
Yeah,
I reckon my first post would have been about 6 likes.
I feel like the hardcore fans have gone back and liked it later.
Maybe. I probably, my mind is like repressing all of it out. So
not that you didn't hit the ground running.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at nearly 40,000 followers.
Wow. Mm.
Built on, this is my little description, of the unique, irreverent, hyperbolic, and abrasive reviews. Albert is now probably the loudest and most influential voice on food in Auckland.
Maybe.
He's like, cool. Emma,
take it.
Tall poppy syndrome's getting to me.
And he's now launched his own web series that's part food, part travel, and all Albert.
Yes.
So how did Eat Lit Food start? Why did you start posting these photos of food and reviews?
I just thought it was like kind of funny. Like I remember always, you know, not to be mean, but like 3-4 years ago, foodie people on Instagram were like the fucking pits of social media. They were so lame. And then
hashtag food.
Yeah. Like all the flat lays and bird eyes. And then I always found myself always going out to restaurants as well. So it just started off as a thing that I would just like take photos of the food before me and my friends ate it and make like a brief caption about it, which we found funny, like me and like 20 other friends. And then, yeah, just like weirdly enough, other people outside my friend group started following it.
Where did you find your style? Like, at what point did you know that you had this voice?
I mean, when I first started, like you said, I wasn't like swearing on Instagram or anything because I thought it was like not okay. I'll just be really honest. I got really blazed once with my friends. I wrote about a cookie, and I wrote it in completely my style, and it was a mustache cookie. And then Mustache reposted that, and then that got a lot of followers. And then I was just kind of like, maybe I can talk. Like, write the way I actually talk.
I was going to say, it's actually, you just write the way you speak.
Yeah.
Which is, I've noticed, obviously I'm not a journalist, but whenever I've written something that gets positive reinforcement, people often say, I could hear your voice. It sounds like you speak. It's definitely kind of refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, ever since like I could speak fucking English. I think I was always told off for my potty mouth. Like, I remember this one time in Milsay, am I allowed to say the C word on here? No.
No, it's
not.
I was just like talking about someone at school and I called them like a fucking cunt. And then, Milsey's very like tight space and like a dad turns around and he's like, do you mind? I have a child with me. And I was like, my fucking apologies. And I was like, just like, yeah, I've always been like that.
That's it. You've just like it's this. You've got sass. It's your it's your attitude just coming through in the writing.
Yeah, but I'm really nice.
You are. Hey, it's
most of the time.
Yeah, I'm really nice.
But it is interesting that it was a negative review that had a big snowball effect for you.
Yeah.
Do you regret that at all, or was that a big positive moment for you?
I think like negative reviews, it did. And in the beginning, it was like what people really knew me for, just like shitting on.
Yeah, like takedowns.
Yeah. But like, you know, like realistically speaking, I think the Auckland dining scene is fucking cool and it's really good. So around like 1 out of 10 are going to be dog tucker, you know? So I think I started talking more passionately about food, and that was also quite interesting and funny to people as well. So it ended up working out in the end, but I was thinking kind of like, if I keep going at this rate, I'm going to be like the most hated person in Auckland.
Well, I think it was also quite interesting that from the beginning, I remember before I even knew you, that you had like, it's just my fucking opinion written at the top of your Instagram. Yeah. And like, you were just getting absolutely owned for your opinion, and it's just so interesting that that much responsibility would be put on someone that's not in a specific profession of note or in the industry or anything at that stage. Yeah. You were like brand new and had your own Instagram account. Yeah. It's interesting.
I always get comments if I talk shit about a restaurant, like let's say Winona Forever, and but I love that place. I'm like, well, fucking carry on loving that place. Yeah. So it's just, I'm writing about what I thought.
I'm not trying to persuade
you.
It is interesting, though, because you are persuasive. I visit your Instagram account to find different places to visit, to be guided through Auckland's dining scene. And I guess that's where both sides of the coin are really powerful, is that you encourage me to visit places.
Mm.
But a negative review is also powerful, and that's why people take it That's why people get really upset about it, especially as
what was
interesting about Goodness Gracious was it was the business owners who retaliated.
Yeah.
Did it take you a little while to learn about that power and influence that you had?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I remember when I made that Goodness Gracious review, it was like I had no idea how many people were actually reading my account. So then...
Yeah, it's like your intention is separate from what actually happened, what the consequence was.
Yeah, so, I mean, all the shit went down. That's when it kind of sunk in, being like, oh, like, people actually do listen to me. But, you know...
And I guess that ups the responsibility ante a bit, because if there is a genuine ability to influence someone's business, then I guess you would be more inclined to... take a more scientific approach, visit three times and do the things that the reviewers do to make sure they're not just like offhand. So it's tricky.
It's a really interesting way that food reviewing has evolved, because the internet lets people review the shit out of anything they want all the time. Yeah. And it's really democratized that space where it was previously something reserved for what appeared to be mostly old white guys to pretend like they knew more than everyone else.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did. Does Peter Calder know more than Albert about food? I don't know. His opinion justified and put on a pedestal where someone's opinion on Instagram or Facebook or fucking TripAdvisor...
As opposed to a
restaurant review in a newspaper.
And I remember when, Albert, you first appeared on the scene and there was some chat online from like food writer people.
Yeah.
And some people getting really angry about you.
Yeah.
Just like really fucking furious.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get it. I was like, look, I trust him. Like most of everything you'd posted to that point, I was like, yeah, I totally agree with him.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the established food reviewers sometimes review. People just get so het up about.
I think that there's like you could do two columns and put Albert in one of them and put food media in the other, and you are a lot of the things that they're not. So like you are young, they are not young. Maybe they are trained cooks, you're not a trained cook.
No.
But they're not. What's
Jesse Mulligan?
Jesse Mulligan is a white guy.
Okay.
I think it's just confidence a lot. And that's like having worked in food media for a while and ended up doing reviewing.
Yeah.
But I was always very reluctant to, like, oh, fuck, I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but it's just having confidence in you.
Sorry, I neglected to give Sophie a beer. Like, oh, I hate
pregnant people get thirsty too, Simon.
Oh,
jeez. Jesse is experienced. Jesse has eaten at a lot of places and ridden a lot. So that's Jesse's credentials. But they're the same credentials as yours. You just write fuck in your reviews too.
I mean, I guess it was really interesting. I remember that whole Goodness Gracious thing as well. A lot of the comments were kind of like, who the fuck do you think you are? Why don't you like stick to reviewing noodles? And it was just like,
oh my God, I remember seeing that.
Yeah. And it was just like, it seemed like they were almost angry that this like little Asian kid was like just making talking and like, because like I do agree that Asians have like a reputation for being quite reserved, and they have a reputation for being quite, they're not very outspoken. So when I do kind of talk the way I do, even in like public settings, I always like, even in the bus, I get people like turning around at like how I speak, and I'm just like, what? Like, it seems out of character for a lot of people for an Asian guy to be.
Do you think the people that were freaking out were Aucklanders?
Oh, nah, fuck no. I mean, a few of them were Aucklanders, but they were like the people from like, I mean, they were like rural New Zealanders, because it was only after News Hub talked about it, when all the fucking weirdos of New Zealand came onto my page. Yeah, they like commented nasty shit.
Because I feel, proud to be the minority in this city as like a white New Zealander, in the sense that I wouldn't have even thought about you as being a Korean New Zealander.
Yeah.
But it's because we see it all the time.
The food media is extremely white. I was at the food writers conference last weekend, and I just looked around the room and was like, whoa.
Yeah, I actually realized that like 3 weeks ago I went to this Le Creuset. Is that what it's called?
Le Creuset. Le Creuset, yeah.
Le Creuset event. And it was just like all old white women.
A lot of food writers is female.
Yeah.
Like the food critics, there seems to be men, but
yeah,
food writers who go to events.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
Really?
This is the Fermentist Kiwi Pale Ale, which is New Zealand's first carbon zero certified beer.
Shite.
Wow.
It comes from the Fermentist, which is a brewery in Christchurch, which is owned by Lion. However, it is quite, and generally I'm very sceptical of sort of big breweries having small craft wings.
Yeah.
But the Fermentist seems pretty legit. They are very sustainability focused, and with this beer, which already had a very small carbon footprint, they offset it with, you know, the usual carbon offsetting thing of investing in tree planting and whatnot.
Awesome.
And it's yum. It's cool. Like 4.8%, very smashable.
Oh my God, I'm such a lightweight. I need to like go a little bit chill out on it. Yeah.
What are we drunk talking?
So fast. Oh, my nickname in high school used to be the Nick, and it was because I could drink the Nick of the beer, like the first bit, and I'd get bright red and pretty tipsy off that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
I'm hoping my tolerance will be reset post-pregnancy because,
Oh, yeah, white people can drink a fuck ton. Like, I try like catching my friends. I'm like, guys, like, holy shit.
I drink quite a lot, but I get like a weird rash type thing, but I just ignore it.
I just
press on through.
I wouldn't let a rash get in the way of a delicious beverage.
When it's like day drinking, I'm like, what?
Do you have to pace yourself?
Well, like on Saturday, I went to like a long lunch and I had to go for like a 2-hour walk to just kind of sober up and like recollect myself after it. And I was like, I need to carry on till like the night time.
I never really get to a stage where I'm like my state doesn't normally get too far ahead of my actual drinking.
Really?
Like I don't get messy. I guess at university we learned what the limits
occasionally were. I get pretty horsed, yeah.
That's what I love about Albert's Instagram account. You say you're a lightweight, but you give off this perception as a heavyweight.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He's
a stayer.
I'm a massive stayer.
Lots of stories that are posted at 4, 5, 6 in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I still like, I can stay up all night without alcohol. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't.
Neither.
Without alcohol.
Right, yeah. We'll read between
the
lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Was that a pun?
I didn't even think of it.
I said nothing.
That was great.
Anyway.
When did you know that you first loved food in this way? Are you a cook?
Oh, I mean, I used to cook way more before this Instagram because now I feel this like underlying pressure to always dine out. Mm. But I was a fat kid. Like, I always loved food. My whole family has always loved food. And even like when my mum used to make me and my sister walk home from school to like be healthy and like lose weight. And we used to...
my mum did that, but then I just walked past the dairy.
Legit, that's what we used to do. We used to go past the dairy, get quadruple scoops of ice cream, and then we'd go to the fish and chip shop, and we'd always get a deep-fried Mars bar and a battered sausage.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
And sometimes we'd get fries if we felt like it. And then we'd go to the mall and get Shamiana butter chicken.
Yeah!
Smash one of those. And then we'd go to KFC and always get a Zinger Burger.
Jesus.
And then we'd go home and like we had to pretend like nothing had ever happened, so we ate dinner with our family.
Wow. Yeah. That's some extreme junk food, eh?
Yeah. And we just loved food. Like, and like our weekends would always be dedicated to like going out to like Parnell and going to Chocolate Boutique. Like, it was just like,
I remember when I learned about Weight Watchers points and that like butter chicken from the food court was like your entire day's worth of everything all in one go.
Yeah.
Who can score the most points?
Yeah. I mean, but then I went through puberty and I lost weight, and then
Is that when you became a male model?
That's when I started modeling, and then I started getting put on like severe diets by my Korean agency. And that made me like fucking crazy and like make me love food even more. So like I'd be able to have like one meal a day. And that meal I was like, I'm going to make sure this is like a fucking banging meal. And that's when I started looking into a lot of reviews. And I remember like Zomato, like none of them, like those fuckers never tell you what that dish is. They post a photo of it and they never name it. Mm. And it's like little pet peeves all like came into my head.
I don't know why Zomato exists. Like, oh, it annoys me so much.
I know. It's so shit.
It's massive. Like the other day I went to the new Westfield food court on the roof.
Yeah.
And there was a Japanese joint there with an enormous queue of people. Like there was no queues for anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I said to someone, sorry, what are you guys waiting for? And they were like, to get in. And I said, how did you hear about it? And they all said Zomato. Oh. And one of them said Zomato Gold.
Oh,
so they're like the VVIPs
God.
Of Zomato.
It's
that's
a ramen so chain, isn't it? From
oh, is it?
I think it's some Japanese
chain. Oh, it's the one from
chain,
the... Yes, because there's two new Japanese ramen.
There's Daruma
joints.
And Iputo, I'm pretty
yeah.
sure.
So Iputo I think it's
is like
Iputo
the, yeah, that is quite popular, but a lot of people are also going because of like the whole Zomato thing.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I mean is, you know, I remember going to Paris Butter after a Jesse Mulligan review and that was slammed. And the fact that Zomato has the same power is very buzzy to me.
In a way, though, it's user-generated content and the way that Yelp became really successful.
Is Yelp successful?
And not in New Zealand. It's not in
New Zealand.
It's
not a New Zealand
anymore,
thing, though. Yeah.
In the States,
has it left
it
New
really
Zealand?
Was. Yeah. Yeah, they left when a friend of ours was the community manager for New Zealand, but I think they had to change their strategy.
Okay.
And but they still, I think, are pretty successful overseas. People use it as the go-to for what, you know, how places are rated.
And you still hear about Yelp in like movies and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, 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 that's what I think as well.
It always cracks me up in movies where they must have been paid by Bing.
Yeah.
And people
yeah,
say, like,
instead of Google.
Bing it.
No one's
going to
Bing
it. No one uses Zomato.
No, when you go on like Bing, it's like, oh, this is the wrong website. And you're like exiting out of it.
That's funny. I've actually watched a movie the other day where I was like, who uses Bing anyway?
No.
Albert, the pressure to dine out obviously is expensive. Have you managed to turn your influence into money?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I found a way to kind of monetize my account. So it is pretty hard, though, when because when they offer to pay me, I always have to be like, but you know it won't guarantee you a good post.
So
yeah,
restaurants or cafes or suppliers
yeah.
ask you to come and review their joint.
Yeah.
And you'll do that for money and you'll say, but I have complete editorial freedom.
Yeah.
So all
and
your
some
posts
have some
pay?
Have come on board, some have copped out. So yeah, it's but I mostly because I write for Denizen full time. That's where I kind of just get most of my income. I still do the odd modeling gig. If I'm like low on money, I just call my agent and she like finds me a good paying job. So yeah,
and the web series
is
that something that's making money or costing money?
Kind of both. So it was. My investor, we got him at a really good time because he had just quit a really big job at Sony and he was just looking for kind of like a fun project to do and he lives in Tokyo and he knew Tim Lamborn and he was like, fuck, there's like this really funny guy in New Zealand and it was me and Tim was like, oh, I can actually like link you up with him if you want. And Akira, for like the investor right now, he just wants me to do cool stuff. So...
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have ownership of the content? How does it work that
way? Yeah, so I have... People all ask me if I'm, like, sucking his dick for, like, all these, like, videos and trips in return, but it's like, no, like, he just thinks what I do is really cool, so he paid for the entire thing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how's it gone?
It's going good. So after that, we've gotten... It's kind of made my credibility, if that makes sense, and my brand stronger. So I've had, like, other companies from overseas asking me to come and do like interviews with the chef over there. And like, yeah, it's been stuff is kind of in the works right now that I can't really talk about.
Do you feel rushed to learn more? I mean, in a way I feel sorry for you in that like you're young, you're kind of new to the industry, whatever industry we're talking about, but you know, like do people expect you to know a lot?
Oh yeah. 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 I feel like, yeah, like especially chefs, they're just kind of like, they think I can like fucking taste like their little bit of what, like, I don't know, like their tiny bit of paprika. And I'm just like, I don't know, I thought it was like pepper, like just like,
totally.
Like black pepper. But like, I do, and that kind of makes them also like disappointed that I don't know everything about cooking and all about food. And they asked me, do you cook? I'm like, no, I'm at your fucking restaurant.
Yeah.
Of course I'm a fucking cook right now. Like, I'm doing this.
And you live at home, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Your parents do the cooking?
Yeah, but I don't really eat at home that much. I mean, I don't.
You're just out.
Yeah, I'm out on the a town. Lot. Yeah.
But I also love the endearing lack of polish in the videos as well. Like, there was the episode where Tim is teaching you how to use the, what do you call that camera?
It's a gimbal.
Gimbal camera.
Yeah.
And you use that footage, which I think is really clever. That it shows it's all about, you know, exactly who you are without trying to fake it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it watches you learn as you go, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that whole series, we had no idea what the fuck we were doing, and that's what I loved about it.
Yeah, I was going to – I said to Simon and Alice when we were talking about this episode that I was speaking to you when we had dinner at Ponce Vero Bistro about what you thought your career could turn into, and you were talking about – like being in front of the camera is what you love.
Yeah.
And I felt like a million years old where I was like, I think I said, are you going to go get some experience at like a TV or a radio station?
And I was like, fuck no.
You're being shut down.
Yeah. You're like, fuck no. I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be open about the fact that I'm winging it.
Yeah.
And just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And that's just like that is the shift, right? It's now no longer about experience, and it's not about being polished and perfect. It's about just owning what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Which goes well. Alice is now offering beer around the studio.
Just offering our lovely producer, Jose, a beer.
So we're going to try the
Cooney
Hoonie. Did I get that in the right
way? Yes, the Cooney Hoonie.
Yeah, I Googled it.
It makes me laugh so much that this is invented by Maggie.
I know. She's hot. She's like a hot girl, so people are like, you don't eat fucking pie.
Yeah.
Who's Marnie? Yeah.
She's she is a senior editor at Denizen.
Oh,
but she's also a stylist. And it was actually for a Denizen article, and I was like, I need to like talk about some interesting food combos. It was just like an article idea that I had. And then like out of nowhere, like kimchi and cheese, all of them were just like things we've all done before.
I love kimchi and cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's like all combinations that like sound kind of weird to someone that has never gone to a restaurant in their life. But Margie was just like real casually like, oh yeah, like have you ever tried a peanut slab and a pie?
I was like, excuse me?
Like a chocolate pie. And she was like, yeah, like a meat pie and like a peanut slab. And I was like, what? And she was like, oh yeah, I did it when I was real hungover once. And I was like, pretty good. And then, like, we just couldn't find...
She knows food as well, like, that's why it's quite cool.
And I was like, okay. And then we couldn't find anything that leveled up to that. And then we just canned the article. And then, like, 4 months later, I was really, really hungover in the gas station. I was like, I did it.
Now is the time.
Yeah, I was like, now is the fucking time to try it. And it was amazing.
So we've got a satay...
A vegan satay pie, which has got sun-fed chicken in it.
It's going to be disgusting.
That's going to be fucking interesting.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes with chocolate.
I don't eat meat, so...
chocolate oozing everywhere. This is great.
We were hoping for like
I'm actually nervous.
Well, you know, you can... I've poured chocolate sauce on venison, you know?
I said to Albert on the way here that it's...
Like Mexican mole. It's like a chocolate... thing. You know, people love it.
That's why I feel like the Mexi bean would have worked well, but that wasn't available. So satay, fake chicken and chocolate. Look, I'll give it a go.
I'm actually kind of nervous for you.
Yeah, same. I might die.
Do you want to take a photo before we eat it, Alice?
Yeah, good idea.
Mike Hosking has tried this.
Yeah.
Who else?
He's not a fan of Mike Hosking.
I'm not a fan of him, so it's all
good. I know, that's made me feel like I'm definitely going to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he doesn't like it, then we probably will.
Like, I'm about to vomit. I was like, please, just go all the way.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
How many have you eaten of these? And is it like a habit, or was it more just for the story?
Oh, no, I've gone back to it around like 4 more times.
Okay.
It's just the only thing is that if you have a whole one to yourself, you can never eat for like 6 more hours if you have a whole one. Which one's the vegan one?
The vegan one is the yellow one.
Closest to you. Yeah, that.
It's actually bad.
Oh,
I just want to try the vegan one.
That's good. Alice needs company, don't you? Oh. I often feel like you're the only one eating the veggie food on this podcast.
Because I've had a lot of the meat one before. And I'm shredding for summer.
You're trying to be vegan. Simon, are you going to eat it?
Yeah, I'm keen as.
I'm weirdly thinking that the satay and the chocolate works. I'm not
well,
even kidding.
I was
kidding.
Thinking it's not out of the question that it would work. Oh, God, I'm really
nervous. Oh, but it doesn't look like he agrees. No, he's thinking.
No, satay's actually nice. Because the reason I like the meat ones is because it reminds me of like a satay, beef rendang, sweet, savoury type of flavour.
The peanuts give you the
crunch, yeah.
I'm into it.
This isn't bad.
My God. Who knew?
Sophie, what?
Peanuts, satay.
I can only taste chocolate.
You'll get a big chunk of peppery beef and it changes everything. It's really good.
You're just pregnant.
Yeah. Josh, come and have some.
This vegan pie.
It's actually not bad.
It's not bad.
No. Duncan Grieve is Sunfed Chicken's biggest fan, so I will suggest this little combo
it's
to
really
him.
Good.
Like, okay, I'm actually not mad about it.
I'm not mad.
Right.
Albert was a bit disappointed that I hadn't tried it before. I wonder whether, like, there's a demographic of people that are more susceptible to, like, viral shit than others. Because quite often I see viral stuff and I'm like, definitely not doing
like
it.
Lewis Road Creamery chocolate milk?
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Oh, I fell for that.
Yes, I just did a story about five... It's been 5 years
I would never queue
since.
Up for
oh
chocolate
my
milk
God.
In a supermarket.
No, I fell for that. Wait, your sister Mimi at Burger Burger was charging, like, I think it was like $12 for a tiny bottle of Lewis Road Creamery.
Oh, my God.
Maybe.
You
scared. I was like 16, 17. I shamelessly bought it. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Capitalism. Like, just
Own it.
It's fine.
Supply and demand.
But that's what I found really interesting about the Cooney Hooney as well, is the way that it took off. And everyone was doing it.
Yeah, it was... Awesome. I actually didn't think people would, like, actually go to a gas station and do it, but then I thought about it, like, well, I fucking did it. So, like, hearing it off someone else, so it was,
It was reasonably embarrassing at 5:45 p.m. by myself at the BB tonight, buying pies and peanut slabs.
Do you think they knew?
He laughed at me. 100% he knew.
You know what you were doing. Love it.
The peanut slabs were actually, I wonder whether it was a merchandising decision, but... directly behind the pies.
Oh.
Have you seen if any BP stations have done like a pepper steak and peanut slab combo for discounted price?
No, but my friend's boyfriend works at a BP, and for a couple of weeks, peanut slabs and the gourmet steak pepper pie were sold out every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's no way that they wouldn't know about
it. Whittakers have not sent me a fucking message or anything. I'm like, mate, like, we could really do like a partnership here.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know who your marketing manager
whereby
is.
Whereby you feed me chocolate for free.
Yeah. Like, at least send me a little hamper.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
No, I think for Whittakers, this would be a little bit like how.
Cadbury with palm oil or.
No, how Chris Dow pushed back against hip hop.
Oh.
And Christelle tried to say, like, no, we don't like hip hop, stop associating.
Yeah.
Like, Christelle was too good.
Didn't Kanye re-record his songs without reference to Christelle in them?
I know that Jay-Z removed Christelle from his bars.
Oh, right.
Shit.
Big mistake, Christelle.
So maybe Whittakers are worried about the brand association.
They should embrace it.
Wow.
I just had another bit of the satay one. It's so good.
It's yum.
To it.
Do you want to half this last Saturday?
What a success. I think so.
How many have you worked out how many calories are in this?
How many calories are in the pie?
No idea.
Heaps and heaps. The
like a 1,000.
A pie?
Do you reckon?
I mean, I don't really know much about calories. Even when I was modelling, my agent was always just told me, just starve.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, he was like, calories, schmalleries, just starve and
oh
you'll
my God,
be fine.
I feel like we need to cut this out. This is going to be like...
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
I never
advise that.
I love that on Devil Wears Prada, you know, there's that girl and they said, what diet are you on? And she's like, mill by mouth. And when you think you're going to pass out, you can have a cube of cheese.
Yeah, exactly. It was like...
Literally, eat nothing.
I mean, with guys, the male models, we were told to starve like all the time. Because I don't think... Then, like, you know, men can get eating disorders as well. But with, like, the female models, they're very sensitive about the topic. But with us guys, they're just like, you're not eating today.
And oh, my
like
God.
It was, like, a real easy thing for us.
Shocking. Yeah. Exposé of the modelling industry, please, Albert.
Do you think that you are, so looking into the future, will food always be involved? Or do you think you just love being in front of the camera and it could be anything TV-ish?
Oh, no. I always think food will be involved. I don't want to... I don't want to be on TV for like no reason or anything. And it's more like I like being on TV talking about food. I like being in front of the camera, like talk, like basically what I do on my Instagram. I just like saying it because, like I said, I write like how I talk. So skipping that writing process is a fucking breeze.
Who can be bothered writing shit?
Yeah,
down.
Fuck.
That's what that you, Ella, someone was like, podcast, that is the dream. No editing.
Oh, yeah. The first podcast I did where we interviewed the Sarawats, I was like, this is the fucking life. Don't have to write a bloody story after interviewing them.
Yeah. Doesn't need to be signed off. It's perfect. Yeah.
TV is the worst, though. That's like, you'll shoot hours and hours and hours of footage, and then someone has to turn it into something cohesive. That's how long are your episodes? Like 20 minutes?
20 something minutes. Yeah, I felt sorry for Tim because he edited the whole thing, and he actually took like a 3-month trip to Paris and like locked himself in his now ex girlfriend's like apartment. Yeah. And he just edited the whole time.
Doesn't sound that bad. Sure, he popped out for the odd baguette.
Probably. Yeah. Croissant.
What's your favourite food city in the world after Wellington?
Oh, God.
After Wellington.
Simon's just, we just, our last episode was on Wellington and how it's better than Auckland and the food city.
Wellington's pretty cool. My favourite food city, I would say Shanghai.
Cool.
Shanghai was fucking mind-blowing.
Coming soon to Eat the Food
the series. Yep, it is. Surprisingly, my least favourite was Tokyo.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't been to Tokyo, but the reason I would like to go is... So
I love Tokyo. Everything from just going to
7-Eleven,
the 7-Eleven,
the convenience stores,
the rice balls, the McDonald's is amazing. The 2 yen cheeseburgers with wasabi mayonnaise.
I mean, I just found it was all very, very refined. And as you guys can all tell, I love my food very, very naughty and fucking
a bit rough
like
around
slutty
the edges.
And just that's why I love Al Brown's food. It's always just like. And so, yeah.
Embrace the fat.
Yeah.
Embrace the
salt. Yeah, yeah.
Embrace the butter.
Yeah. The only fat I got in Japan is tuna. And I'm like, oh. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. The yakitori wasn't fatty enough for you?
Nah. I mean, collagen and fat are quite different, you know? Like, yeah.
Ramen?
Yeah. Ramen was, that was pretty fucking... out the gate.
I'd like to do a ramen pilgrimage.
Yeah, the ramen shop I went
Fiona
to was...
Fiona Smith is doing one this next year if you want to join her.
Yeah, I would.
You listening, Fiona?
Yeah. But even with ramen, like, it has to be like tonkotsu. If it's like a fucking like soy-based ramen, I'm like, nah.
Oh!
Nah. Mm. I need like pork base. Yeah.
Do you have, do you eat ramen from Chop Chop ever in Ponsonby Central?
I actually don't consider Chop Chop ramen, but it's fucking yum.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It is not your, it's not typically, it's not super authentic.
Yeah.
But it's a take on ramen.
Yeah, I haven't been in years, but I remember getting like the beef brisket one. That was fucking
loads
yum.
Loads of black pepper. It tastes a bit like the
Koonie Hoonie. Yeah.
Koonie Hoonie in a bowl.
It was just like, I remember reading their menus, I was like, what the fuck is rye noodles? And then I don't mind it. It was actually pretty good.
So that's because Shay made the ramen noodles, which is actually like, I'm sure you know this, it's like a... real, it's a very specific thing. It's a noodle that doesn't continue to avoid absorb water, so it keeps its bite. Anyway, Shay had developed the noodles using rye flour.
Great.
But
okay.
They are epic ramen noodles.
Yeah.
That
I liked
be
it.
The next time, next place we go.
Chop Chop. Chop Chop is pretty awesome.
I go there like twice a week.
The girls at the Denizen go there like twice a week as well.
Oh, okay, well, you need to just get on board.
Yeah.
The super mega ramen is like all of the pork things.
Yeah.
So it's like pork belly, bacon. Pulled pork.
I think I need that.
I always add the corn and the kombu butter.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds very similar to the homemade packet ramen that you make when you're really hungover.
We did a hangover episode and I bought that. You know Shinryu ramen in the,
Red
packet?
Yeah.
I did that with corn and butter.
Did you put cheese in it?
And egg. Oh, ooh, cheese.
Cheese in it's really
what sort
fucking
of cheese?
Yum. Just like your bogan American cheese.
I do like how... some Japanese food, they just randomly put cheese on.
Yeah, it's a huge thing in Korea as well.
Like yakitori, like eggplant, which is cheese on top.
Yeah, exactly. In Korea, it's like spicy rice cake with cheese.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cheese is good on everything.
Yeah, it's like that creaminess kind of balances out spice as well. So it's like, it's good.
It's a bloody good time.
Yeah.
What about your favorite food joints in Auckland? Where do you find yourself going the most?
Oh, I mean... recently, surprisingly, Ponsonby wrote Bistro, which I never would have said that, like...
Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, I think, because I had such like an elitist thing of like white people food sucks and like I only like Asian food, and it was just like a real... I used to say blueberries and sucks, but like let's be real, it's like fucking yum.
Yeah.
But like Ponsonby wrote Bistro, I recently had this like pork belly...
The
pork belly schnitzel.
Have you ever heard of something so fucking delicious?
A pork belly schnitzel. Like,
it makes sense.
Yeah. It was like... I've had like veal schnitzel and like chicken schnitzel and like just regular pork, but this was like...
Oh my God.
The pork belly
good.
Was like a fat piece of pork belly, and it was like crumbed, and like you cut into it and you get the layers of fat, you get the layers of meat, and it just like melts in your mouth. It was... Mwah.
I knew you'd like that because I had it at my birthday, and so I took a photo and sent it down.
I was like half eaten. She's like, dying.
Yeah, honestly, you need to get here.
It looks like shit in your photo.
Exactly the kind of food that he likes.
It was fucking yum.
It was beige.
Yeah,
it
beige, very beige.
It's a good chance to say how much we miss Melissa.
Yes.
Very sad to lose them.
But she's gone. But equally excited for, you know, the next era of the restaurant.
Are they not there anymore?
Melissa and Sarah have gone. They've got both of their mothers are not well, so they've gone back to Europe.
I didn't know
but
that.
But Blair is continuing.
Are they gone for good?
No.
Pardon?
Are they gone for good?
Well, for indefinitely, now. I guess they don't know what will happen.
They're good operators.
But we had a last hurrah lunch with them, my mother, my sister and I, and at Blueberries about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, fuck.
Delicious. I forget about Blueberries. I mean, I'm always obsessed with the salmon salad.
I find that the worst thing on the menu.
Oh, my God, I love it. It's because it won't have enough grease in it.
It's just like leaves and fresh fucking slices of salmon.
No.
Yeah,
but isn't that interesting though? How subjective food is.
Completely.
Yeah. I mean, but the chalk pot, everyone can like that, right? Have you guys had the chalk pot?
No.
Okay. I like the greens and black bean sauce they have on the side.
The dessert. You have to eat the chalk pot.
I don't think we've ever had
dessert. We tried the
dessert. Oh my God, guys! No, it's like It's like a pot, and there's like rhubarb in the bottom. I know, I fucking hate rhubarb.
I love rhubarb.
I hate rhubarb, and I fucking love the dessert. And it's like it's like a molten chocolate lava cake, and there's like chocolate ganache on top as well, and a side of cream, and it's just you like dig into it, and it just steams up, and it's like all melted chocolate. And it's so good, yum.
And is it trying to be Asian at all?
No. No, not at all.
Just delicious.
Yeah. I mean,
officially just went back for my third bite of the Kuni.
The Kuni is a good time.
So good.
Just wanted to come claim.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I have to take one home for my pregnant wife.
Oh my God, yes.
She'll love it. Hopefully.
Yeah, do you think Millie will be into it?
I think she'd have to focus. She's a very brain orientated eater.
Mm.
And I think there'd be a big barrier there for her.
Thinking like, this is wrong.
Yeah. Mm. This is too
intriguing.
Weird for me.
Yeah.
She's like the opposite of David.
She's got to let it go.
Yeah.
So shall we roll into our segments, starting with the Cook's Corner?
Okay.
This is where we provide tips for our listeners on how to enhance their skills in the kitchen.
Ooh, okay.
So my tip this week is to take your sausages out of their casing and use them for all different sorts of things. You can make the sausages into like little nuggets that you put on top of pizza as they go into the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can...
Delicious. There's a really good new pizza on the menu at Prego with... it's called Maiale, and it's got pork and fennel sausage bits in it. And it's just changed the game of that whole pizza menu for me.
Maiale is the Italian word for pork.
Oh, there we are.
That's one
fact.
Thing I know.
Oh, shit.
I'll often take
I'm a linguist.
Sausage meat out and just make a ragu because it's so fancy.
Yeah, David does that.
Like meatballs.
Or I will mix them into meatballs and take a pork and fennel sausage with a beef sausage and mix those together to make meatballs. Ooh. And it's so effective. And there's just so much fat in there to render.
Shit.
Nice.
Who's up next? Alice, what have you got?
Mine is asparagus related because there's a lot of asparagus around at the moment. I've been eating a lot, have had a lot of asparagus wheeze. Simon, this is not time to tell your story.
Again.
If you ever wanted to wee in a cup for me, I'd sniff it.
You're an absolute sucker.
No one's ever offered me that. So you know how you snap off the woody ends and there's supposedly like a natural breaking point?
Mm-hmm.
I think people take that too seriously, because sometimes I see people like just throwing away half of the bloody stalk. Mm-hmm. So then I was researching on the internet to see if it was just me thinking that or if I was right. And I'm basically right.
Mm.
So don't go too crazy. Like, just, you know, like the real woody is fuck bit. Get rid of that.
Yeah.
But also use your judgment. Sometimes it's a lovely skinny stalk. And
although
it's
woody
delicious.
From the outside in. So I had the asparagus at Celeste last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when they make them look really beautiful? Yeah. Often the chefs will peel
yeah.
the outer.
Yeah.
That's another thing I read. Peel the outer of the bottom. But I don't have time for that shit. But it's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a process for them.
Yeah.
Also save the bases of your asparagus in the freezer and make a stock.
Yes, I have a lot of them in my freezer at the moment. And also on lovefoodhatewaste.co.nz, they've got a recipe for a asparagus stalk pesto and an asparagus stalk soup. I've not tried either, but worth a go, perhaps.
Shit.
There's my tip.
Okay, cool. Albert, what have you been cooking lately?
Sophie, hand it over to you because she's trying to think of something.
I mean, like I said, I don't really cook that much, but when I mean...
Albert's tip, eat out.
The secret is, you know, like Shin Ramyun.
Yeah.
Basically, don't add too much water to your soup, because you're never going to drink the whole soup anyway.
Yeah.
And so you always save like a little bit of your packet and just put that in like a Tupperware container and stock it in your fridge. And whenever you make spicy food, just add a dash of that ramen powder.
Oh.
And legit, you are getting spice and MSG.
Oh,
so it just automatically tastes good.
We need to do an episode on
MSG appreciation.
What
just
do
like
you do?
Just snort lines of it.
to something when you repair its image.
Oh,
reinvention?
No,
not quite. It was a re,
redeem.
Not that word either, but
rebrand.
We could rebrand it.
Redemption. No,
put MSGs back together.
Yeah, MSG makes stuff good.
Yeah. My initials are actually MSG. So.
Oh,
God, that is so good.
It's fitting that I'll be present at that episode. Okay, I am struggling on the cook's corner front. I haven't been cooking that much.
You're pregnant, it's okay. That's fine.
Thank you. Yeah, I do a lot of sitting down. But
has
what I
David
will say,
been cooking for you? Have you been well looked after?
Yeah, I have. And do you know what? I've been eating a lot of ice cream, which is weird for me.
Ice cream.
You get it's quite common to get acid reflux, and so I think that you crave dairy products because it's alkaline.
Yeah.
So I've been doing all of the things with ice cream. But my tip...
That's a tip.
My tip is going to be, I was looking after my sister's kids last weekend, and she had one of those meal kits there, and it was bang bang cauliflower. And I was like, here we fucking go. Opened up the recipe. Normally they just tell you how to chop things. This was, you cut up cauliflower into little florets. You mix sweet chili and mayo together, dip the florets in it, roll them in panko crumbs, and then put them in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And you get these like creamy chili, like bites of cauliflower, and then have that with rice and veggies.
That sounds
quite good. It was absolutely delicious.
Fuck.
I think that's a shout out to HelloFresh.
It still seems maybe like quite a lot of effort.
Let's go with HelloFresh because we're doing some work with HelloFresh at the moment. Shout out
HelloFresh
and Jacko.
Woo!
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the Last Supper, what's the best meal you've had recently?
Shall I start?
Go on.
I recently went to the Mighty Waikato, which is a wonderful place. I had my first trip earlier this year, and now I've been back.
I was just about to say, I feel like you've only been to Hamilton once
before. I am just getting amongst Hamilton.
Are you a convert?
Yep.
Do you have a secret boyfriend down there?
No, I wish I did. A lovely dairy farmer, perhaps.
Yes, I wish you did too.
No, I'm not a dairy farmer.
My in-laws are from there, so I know Hamilton
to
a degree.
Yeah, you can hook me up.
Yeah.
I went to Mr. Pickles.
Oh, good.
I've heard of that
good.
Place, yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Good vibes.
I think they opened.
Shout out to you, Matt Pedley.
They opened the Bearded Weasel recently, right?
Which is a great name.
It's a fried chicken joint.
Fried chicken joint, hey. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a read about that.
And I had, the best thing was white asparagus, which I've always been a bit dubious of, because they really like it in Europe, and I've always thought it doesn't taste like much.
I've only eaten it once, and it was out of a tin served to me by Sophie's mother.
Oh.
It was disgusting.
Mine was at pasture.
Really?
Yeah, I had white asparagus at pasture.
Out of a tin?
No, just...
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, they grow it in the Waikato now.
I think I liked it because it was pasture, and I have to like it.
Well, I really... This was delicious.
Yeah.
Because
they
grow
it... It's too expensive to not like.
They, like, pile up the soil around the spear, apparently, so the light doesn't get... Like, it's just green asparagus. Anyway, this one had, like, salmon and, like, egg and all sorts of delicious stuff on it, and it was really yum. That's mine.
Do you have an agent? I just thought a way of monetize yourself again.
Yeah, kind of.
You should contact tourism boards and get them to pay you to, you know, visit Hamilton.
Oh, right.
Queenstown.
That'll be fun, yeah.
And then you can go have an amazing food tour of a cool place.
Yeah.
And walk away with some profit.
Share your fucking
Simon,
opinion.
You're not on the commercial team for Albert Cho. You should be.
Do you want to be on the commercial team?
I'm actually giving you ideas that we already do for the spin-off.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I also thought of the word I was looking for. We're going to rehabilitate.
Oh, yeah.
The cheese brand.
Didn't I say that? I said redeem.
No, redeem.
We said all the other words.
All mean the same thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Simon, best meal you've had lately?
Was that Go-Go Music Cafe?
Fuck yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
I've never been, because I was away when
the so funny. It's like the owners took over, so it's Chinese, and they've taken over like a Texas rodeo bar.
Oh, wow.
And they've thought, fuck it, like I'm not going to change anything. And it's still a Texas rodeo bar. Just serving skewers and the most amazing. What is that gigantic dish of noodles and chicken bits called?
The, like Xinjiang spicy chicken sauce. It is chicken with special sauce.
$48.
You get like a handful of noodles.
So good.
Yeah.
How many people does it feed?
Oh, a decent amount.
It fed four of us, but then we had a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah. And like when I first went to Go-Go Music, I remember. You know how there's like a stage with a microphone on it? My friend was like, oh, you know if you like sing on stage, you get the whole entire meal for free. Ooh. And I sang Amy Winehouse Valerie.
Great song.
No one looks at me. Like everyone, like they're all neglectful and we don't get anything in return.
Oh,
got completely fucked over, but
it's
still.
Such a good stitch up.
Yeah, worth it because it is so yum there.
I swear it's the worst service in
100%.
But it's great because of that.
Like, I like when
the
place
is just adds on. More. The bad service adds more to your experience.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the taste? Like four, is it yum?
So delicious.
Okay, so the food's really good.
Food's amazing. Mimi, it's fucked. It's so good.
You just
called
him Mimi.
Oh, shit. Sophie.
That's
sorry.
Fine. Happens all the time.
Fuck.
Okay.
What about you, Sophie?
Was Celeste good?
Yes, actually. I was going to dedicate my best meal recently to Celeste. We had a lot of things.
Yeah.
Someone says it sounds like we had the whole menu, but we had oysters, which were the maharangi ones. Mm. Bloody delicious. Then we had the white beans with olive oil and parmigiano. Then we had the octopus. We had the whole flounder, the asparagus.
You had the whole fucking menu.
We had both desserts. What about the ganache with olive oil and sea salt?
I didn't get to have that.
That is a fucking
good time. Did you have the orca eater? The raw food?
No, for some reason we didn't.
I had the Trevally orca eater. That was real good.
That's fucking yum.
That's one that the Tongan princess had when she went.
Yeah.
And the piece of camembert that came out was just like this just gooey, delicious. Mm. Yeah, it was bloody delicious.
We also had something that was like
Pompeii song?
Yeah. Oh, we had that too. Yeah, we did have
hash browns on crack.
I went quickly, just like one drink, couple of things, nailed it. But really want to go back and spend a long,
I was watching
like,
him cook that potato dish, and it was being shallow fried and then finished in the oven to like dry and crisp up.
I think Celeste is also like a really interesting example of everything we've talked about today. I haven't heard Jesse Mulligan. I haven't seen Jesse Mulligan write about it. I haven't seen a review in Canvas.
Mm.
All I've seen is crazy social media hype.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
100%. And it appears to have lived up to it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of places coming like that. You know, like Clay, that one that had its soft opening at the weekend. There's a lot of, I feel like they've...
Nando's Sylvia Park. True story, soft opening tonight.
Oh, guys, I like Nando's.
I love Nando's.
Nando's has its place.
Nando's.
Yeah, it's like, I like the rats from
there. How
do you know
that?
Alex
Dawson's Instagram.
Well, I'm invitee.
No. Like,
oh, sorry.
I'm on the VIP list.
Are you going?
No, I can't.
We can't because we're here.
I have to go cook food.
Not even
for
after.
My
wife. Oh, okay.
I'm just not because I'm here. And Sylvia Park.
The counter looks quite jazzy. It's black and white, all checked. Yeah.
I love in all Nando's restaurants that they have unique, bespoke art made by South African up and coming artists.
They do amazing stuff with charity.
Really?
Like malaria. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Nando's has stories like that you don't even know.
The founders are these like two South African guys that started a charity that set out to eradicate malaria in a specific area. And the I've got three friends that work for Nando's, one in London and two here. And the stories are pretty amazing.
I fucking knew I felt good about liking them.
Yeah. And the Peri Peri chilies, they're like super invested in the supply chain and really look after all the people who grow their chilies.
Oh, that's so good.
You're going to get sent some Nando's.
And the cheesy bread is second to none.
I reviewed Nando's. I did a really positive one. So good. Very good.
I quite like to be your agent. Then I can snack with you.
So I guess it's my turn.
Yes. Yeah, what's your best meal lately?
I mean, on Friday night, I went to Cazador.
Yeah.
And I thought I kind of rinsed that menu by now, but then they have they did a spring menu, and they do a bone marrow now.
Oh.
And it was legit. I'm sorry, Daddy Al Brown, but it was better than Depot.
Was it?
100% better than Depot. So
I never go to Cazador frequently enough to, you know, just get the thing that's new on the menu. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. So instead of those fucking crackers that Depot serve, those are like my pet peeve. Like they serve like little like toast. Those toast crackers like fuck me off so bad. But it's like they just give you, it's meant for two people. They just give you two massive bone marrows and they give you two fat slices of sourdough.
Yeah, I was going to say sourdough's the one.
That's the big fuck out that New Zealanders do with cheese.
Yeah.
Putting cheese on crackers.
Yeah.
When I lived in Paris, the best thing I learned was that they serve cheese on baguette with butter.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like baguette, butter,
exactly.
Cheese.
It was like a buttered and like toasted sourdough.
Yeah.
So it was already greasy as shit. And then you just get one whole bone marrow and just like pour it onto one slice of toast and just spread it
was
all over.
Was there anything on it that was like
chimichurri?
Acidic?
A little bit of chimichurri. And then
I need something acidic.
Yeah, of course. And it was like, I bit into it. And the fat from the bone marrow was, like, dribbling down my chin.
Yes.
It was so good.
Did you see Dariush? Because Simon will get excited.
Yeah. Dariush
is cool.
In your professional opinion, do you think Dariush could be a male model?
I mean, he's a great chef.
Oh, my God. Nagging Dariush.
I think he's the best-looking person in New Zealand hospitality.
Simon's got a big, fat Persian crush on him.
I mean, he's very good-looking. He's handsome.
He's more, like, rugged.
I think models are a different look, so you're just
talking
about.
I could imagine him doing a shoot, like, coming out of a bush with a deer on his back, like, wearing some...
We don't want to dive into your wank bank right now.
Subi jeans with heaps of holes in them.
Yeah, that was a dive into Simon's wank bank.
I think Josh Emmett's still the hottest right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mum calls him handsome. She's like, hello, handsome.
I actually didn't realise how good looking Marco Pierre White is.
I'd only seen old
Marco.
We had to convince Simon.
So I did some Google image search and he was a hot
smoking
young man.
See, like Josh is the other way. He looked like a bit of a dweeb when he was younger.
And now he's
growing into the silver stud type of thing.
Like fine wine. He's
a lot of men
do. That happens. It's very unfair.
And the ones that go the other way. A lot of mind as well, you know.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Albert. I'm really sad, actually, that it was a long weekend, which meant I didn't have time to cook you something so that I could be reviewed by you.
I think there was a worker from
Henry Oliver.
He's now
the editor of Metro.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He talked about it. He was nervous as you ate his chicken.
It was so not good. Yeah,
he gave it an 8.
I mean, like, because it was like Ella's friend. But like, if he wasn't, I would have been like, that was like a 6.
He might be listening to this.
It was dry. It was very dry. But he was lovely.
Yeah.
He's very lovely.
He's a lovely
guy.
Man.
Yeah.
Lovely man. Yeah. Love you, Henry.
I hadn't met him until we did that hangover episode. He ate my shinya ramen.
Did he like it?
I think so. I think it went down quite well with the squad because I wasn't hungover. I had just landed. I was jet lagged. That was my contribution to the buzz.
That's the same as a hangover.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you some PR food and you can do a post.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it goes down better than one of those celebration boxes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that.
My favorite review because it's so important that those motherfuckers get called out.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it? Ialu? Ialu, are you listening? Yeah.
On that note, remember to eat lit food because there's no point eating shit food.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Albert.
Yeah.
Thank you. Such a great sign off, Si.
Thanks,
see you next month. Oh, and sign up to Spin Off members and you'll get a dietary requirements badge. spinoff.co, thespinoff.co.nz/dietary requirements.
Everybody wants a dietary requirements badge.
We'll send it to you. We're in competition with all the other podcasts.
Yeah, so please don't let us down.
Do it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Hello for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.